And the thing about Zion Amud Aleph, the 10th line, out of two dots. So we've been talking about all these different cases of korban that was shechted shelo l'shmoi, where in most cases we said the korban is kosher, the korban is kosher, but the owner is not yotze. And we're going to start talking about an Amud Beis about the fact that there were certain korbanos chatas on Pesach that went to everybody, and eventually we'll get to different other korbanos that went to different other tannaim that are outright possible shelo l'shmoi. So we've been talking about different angles of shelo. We mentioned that you also have, there's two different kinds of shelo l'shmoi. There's shelo l'shmoi as in that he had in mind a different kind of korban. For example, it was an ola, and it was supposed to be an ola, and he shechted it or caught the blood or whatever, as if it was a shlamim. And then you have Shimon Bailim, where it's supposed to be Reuven's korban, and instead he shechts it, and instead he does it on behalf of Shimon. One there a difference, we said both of them make it, but you're not yotze with the korban, although we had learned earlier, and Rashi points out further down on our Amud, that with Shinui Bailim, as it's called, is only going to be an issue if when he shechts, he has in mind that the sprinkling of the blood is going to be l'shem the other person. So in other words, if he just shechts Reuven's korban, l'shem Shimon, nothing would happen. But when he's shechting, he's having in mind, when I sprinkle the blood of this korban in a few minutes from now, it's going to be l'shem Shimon, then that would be considered Shinui Bailim, and it would make it that the owner was not yotze the korban.
Reuven.
What? It would mean that it was supposed to be Reuven's korban, and instead he had in mind Shimon's here. So specifically the Shinui Bailim is when he's doing one of the Udi Ravoidas, having in mind that when it comes to the sprinkling, it's going to be l'shem a certain person.
If he gets a reminder that he actually is supposed to be for Reuven, he does it for Reuven.
Once doing the Shkita itself, he does it for Reuven, then fine. That's how it's listed here. Okay. So the Gemara says Itmi. So we have a discussion. Suppose that a person shefted one Toida, having in mind that it was a Toida of a different person. Now, Rashi explains, we don't mean that he has in mind, again, that the Zrika is going to be on behalf of somebody else. That would be an example of Shinui, that would be Shinui Bailim. What we mean is, over here, both Reuven and Shimon brought Korbanos Toida, and he shechted the one for Reuven, having in mind that it's Shimon's. Rashi explains that also the same question would be, for example, when you have two chatois, if you have Reuven has brought a chatas for Zeit Chelo, and Shimon brought a chatas for Zeit Dam, and now if he shechts one, having in mind that it's the other. So that's a point of Rashi. Tosfos explains that the machlokas may be only specifically by Toida, because the Gemara is going to bring something about it that are in connection specifically with the Toida. Anyway, Achronim also discuss what exactly. So first of all, Tosfos explains that the reason that we're going to discuss whether it's kosher or posel, a reason to say that it's posel would be considered it might still be shinui kodesh, because you're saying this toida that is supposed to be for Pliny is supposed to be for a different toida that belonged to Pliny. So in effect, it would be considered a shinui kodesh, or changing it from one toida to another. It's the same type of korban, but still, a number of achronim discussed that what we made, the Chayt Nosan and others discussed that what we may be further talking about is that Reuven and Shimon brought them for different nissim. Remember, you bring a korban toida, just like nowadays you do you bench a gomel for four major things. A person crossed the ocean, got out of jail, was dangerously ill, or crossed the desert. So, Choyla Yami Sura Midbar, by the way, the simon for them is the word Chayim. Yeah. Anyway, they're all the ones that are listed in Tefet of Zion, and they are the ones for which a person would bring a korban toida, and when there's no Beis Mikdash, then instead he ventures good. Anyway, the point is, so the Chayt Nosan and various other Achronim talk about that we may be talking about over here, that Reuven and Shimon brought them for different nissim that happened to them, and therefore in that sense it's considered a shinu. Anyway, so the question is it truly considered a shinui? So the shader is in parenthesis over here, because we don't know yet whether it's a shader. Rabba amok shader, chisda amok sola. Rabba says it'll be falter. It doesn't matter. A toida is a toida. Rav Chista says it'll be possible because it's not shinui bailim. We don't, Rashi points out, it's not considered shinui bailim, because for that to happen, it would have to be in mind when he's shechting, he has in mind that the sprinkling is going to be l'shem the other person. Here we're just talking about within the shchita itself. So the question is it considered Shinri Kodesh or not? Rav Huna, Rabba, would consider that it's not considered Shinri Kodesh. Therefore, the korban is kosher. Rav Chista would consider it Shinri Kodesh.
So
that's the thing. So some Achronim talk about, we're talking about different Nisim, but primarily we're talking about when it's two different people. Reuven and Shimon each brought a Torah to the Beis Hamikdash, and now the Torah, and now whoever's shechting it has in mind during the Shechita of Reuven that this guy can ship.
Okay.
But we're still not considering Shini Bailim, though, because Shini Bailim would have to involve a thought involving Zrika, and we don't have that over here. But is it considered Shini Kodesh? And again, a reason to consider it Shini Kodesh might be, as Tosfos says, because the fact is they are two different Todas. It's a different Toda, and it's a shame, a different person. And then there's the possibility that various Afronim bring up that it may also be because they're for two different Nisim.
Even though it's still part of the four.
Again, you also have, by the way, Rashi learns that the machlokas is not only on a Torah, but rather on all other korbanos as well, whereas according to Tosfos, the machlokas is strictly on a korban Torah. Anyway, so let's explain the machlokas. What do you want over here? It's a Torah, it was shechted as a Torah. What's the problem? So he had a different owner in mind, or he had a different nest in mind. What's the difference? Rav Chisda Amak Sula, because he says, because you have to have, that should be shechted for the shlomim, that for him, not for somebody else's. A Torah is a type of shlomim. The pasuk actually calls it, the Gemara is going to bring in a second, a pasuk of Sar Zevach Todas Shlomim. Basically, a Todah is a type of Shlomim, except it has certain dinim unique to it that you don't find with a regular Shlomim. You have to bring with it 40 loaves of bread, and you can only eat it for one day and one night, unlike a Shlomim. It's 2 days and a night.
We'll say it in the morning.
We say it in the morning. But basically, it is considered a type of Shlomim. In particular, for example, you're allowed to bring it the Neder and a Dover, just like a Shlomim. As the Gemara is going to bring in a second, a brisa that it has to do with the dinim of Shinui Kodesh, that even if you had in mind a shlomim when you shechted a Torah, it can still be kosher. So Amar Rabba, but no, I'm in the law. So Rabba says, where do I get my din? Where am I getting that it should be kosher in this case? The Tanya, just like we learned in a brisa, when the pasuk says, Sar Zevach Todas Shlomav, the meat of the sacrifice of the Todah of his Shlomim, V'yoyim Achriveh Zivvah Zivvah. So then on the day, so the pasuk continues, on the day when you bring it, then you're allowed to eat it, but only that day and that night. That's the Todah. The words B'yam HaKruveh and Zivfai are not really necessary for what we're bringing over here in the Brayse. So the point is that the Pasuk calls it Zevach Todas Shlomim, the Todah of his Shlomim, which therefore Abba Chanin, Omer, Meshum Reb Elazar, Bala Lamed, this comes to teach us, Todah Shin Shochtel Shem Shlomim, if a person were to take a Korban Todah and shecht it having in mind that it's a Shlomim, Sheira, then it would be kosher. It's not considered Shinui Hashem, it's not considered Shinui Kodesh. Shlomim shenishka to the same toida, but if you took a regular shlomim and shechted it, having in mind that it's a toida psula, then it would be possible, not completely possible, but possible to the extent that we said in the Mishnah that the owner is not yotze the korban and has to bring another.
Should say
psula. Shlomim is plural, so psulim I guess is also plural. Yeah. What's the difference? Why does it only work one way and not the other? The reason is Todah, Kriya Shlomim, Ben Shlomim, Kriyim Todah. So because a Todah is called Shlomim, since the Pasuk calls it Todas Shlomav, the Todah of his Shlomim, that implies that a Todah is a type of Shlomim. Ben Shlomim, Kriyim Todah, but we don't find Shlomim generically called a Todah. So when he shechts what was supposed to be a Shlomim and has in mind that it's a Todah, he's changing the designation of it. No different than, for example, taking an Ola and shechting it as a Shlomim or something like that. So therefore he's not Yotzen. But if he shechts a Todah as a Shlomim, he's more generalizing. He's saying this isn't specifically a Todah, this is more generally a Shlomim. Fine, it still includes the category of Todah, therefore Abba Chanin says it's not a problem. So now you see from that, the whole discussion is about a Todah as a Shlomim or a Shlomim as a Todah. So Shlomim the Shem Todah Psula. So you're telling me that if a Shlomim is shechted, having in mind that it's a Todah, then it's possible. Ha Todah l'shem Todah Kshera. Now that would imply that if you had a Todah and shechted it as a Todah, then it would be kosher. My love. So wouldn't that mean, what are we talking about? The Chavre. What do we mean? We have to be talking about the pastor's somebody else's Todah. So again, the exact case we have over here, Reuven and Shimon have both brought Todahs. Let's say for different Nisim, and now he shechts one having in mind the other, and it seems from what Rabbi Eliezer is saying that it ought to be kosher, because Rabbi Eliezer is pointing out that you only have an issue when it's a shlomim as a toda, or, fine, even a toda as a shlomim is fine. I mean, he doesn't even talk about a toda as a toda, implying there's no problem there at all. Big Mona answers that's not necessarily a proof. Why? A DJ? No, because not necessarily. It may mean where it's two korbanos of his. So again, let's say, for example, that the one person himself, Reuven, experienced both of those things. Rashi says he forced the sea safely, and he got out of jail. So now he's going to be bringing two Torahs. So now all Rabbi Eliezer is implying by not mentioning Torah Lefen Torah is that within the same person, if when it was shechted, whoever shechted it had in mind that this one is for the sea voyage one, when really this one was supposed to be for the jail one, then fine, then everything's good. But not necessarily across two different people. So the Gemara says, Aval b'chavrei mai. So what are you telling me then? If the second korban belonged to somebody else, then mai, what do you say? And the implication would seem to be psula, that would be outright not completely possible, but in other words, that the owner is not yotze. If that's the case, ab b'toni shlomim l'shem toda psula, then in that case, why is Rabbi Eliezer mentioning the point that if a shlomim was shechted as a toda, it's possible, and that's like a lesser chiddush? Because after all, it is a different name of a korban. Let him give a bigger chiddush. Listening, let him say toda l'shem toda. Let him give an example where Torah is shechted as another Torah is possible, the Choshek and Shlomim, the Shem Torah, and then all the more so we would understand that a Shlomim, which is the flower not even brought for a person being saved, is possible if it's L'Shem Torah. So the fact that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't do that, the fact that he only mentions Shlomim L'Shem Torah, implies that across the board, any Torah L'Shem Torah is always kosher, whether you're talking about the same person or whether you're talking about two different people. Well, there is another proof. Still, the Gemara says not necessarily. Shlomim L'Shem Torah today, it's Tzirichle. No, because maybe Rabbi Eliezer had a reason to mention the case of a shlomim that was shechted as the person's own Torah, and that's in a way a greater chiddush. Sakta d'chamina. Otherwise, you might have thought mida Torah free shlomim, shlomim nami free Torah. We see that a Torah is called shlomim, so maybe the names are completely interchangeable. Maybe a shlomim can also be called Torah. V'chi shachet zohu l'shem Torah. And therefore, if you would shech them, having in mind that the Torah likashu, they ought to be kosher, and therefore he needs to tell us that no, it's only one direction. A Torah is called a shlomim is not called a Torah. And therefore, you shechted a shlomim as a Torah, then you're not yotze. But therefore, said Rabbi Eliezer wanted to highlight that chiddush. He's not so much interested in highlighting the chiddush about one Torah being shechted as another Torah. That's not relevant to what he wants us to know over here. The point is, he wants us to know, even though a Torah shechted as a shlomim is kosher, be aware it's not the other way around.
So a shlomim
having in mind shechting a shlomim that it is a Torah is no good. Again, the korban is still kosher. You're still going to continue offering. You're still going to be doing the rest of the avodas of the korban. We brought even, in fact, on days, but even if we did one avoda shaloi l'shma, you're still obligated to do the rest of them l'shma. If it's a korban that has to be eaten, then the korban is still eaten. But yeah, he has to bring another korban because he's not yotze with this one, as we learned from the Gemara yesterday. Yeah. Now the Gemara is going to bring seven dinim that Rava said in connection with these dinim of Shinri Kodesh and Shinri Bayelim. At the end, interestingly, the Gemara often brings a simon for these things at the beginning. Here the Gemara brings the simon for them at the end, after it does all the seven of them. So the first two of them we actually had before on Gimel Amud Beis. Actually, there the Gemara had brought them in the name of Rav, but here the Gemara is saying them in the name of Rava. So it could be that many times you find that the copyists mixed up the names of Amiroyim, especially very similar ones like Rav and Rava and Rabba and whatever. So it's very possible that they were also supposed to be Rava. But, okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Omar Rava, chatos sheshefto l'shem chatos. What happens if a person shefted one chatos, having in mind that it was a different type of chatos? So, for example, again, you have a person who was brewing a chatas because he ate chaylev, and now instead whoever shechts it has in mind that it's a chatas for blood, for having eaten blood, or any of the other things that would make a person chayev a chatas, kshera, then it would be kosher, says Rava. Now, Tosfos points out, one possibility is that Rava in this falls like Rav Chisda. We just said that Rav Chisda had said todesh, shoch, v'shem todesh, avere psula, So we'd be talking about over here. We shechted it, having in mind that it's somebody else's chatos, and then so we would be saying that Rava's statement would agree with Rav Chisda's statement that before that we said a Torah, having in mind where it's for somebody else would be possible. But over here he would be saying that when it's a chatos it's different, that there's a reason to say that it's kosher. Then Tosfos says maybe not. Well, no, we're talking about, like Rashi says, just two different avedis. Anyway, so my timer. So then Rava continues. L'shem Ola. On the other hand, it's Chatas was shechted, having in mind that it's an Ola. Ksula, that's possible because, as we said in the Mishnah, Chatas is called the two kinds of korbanos that everybody agrees is possible. So it's Ksula Yishim. So when Rava is saying L'shem Ola Ksula, there's no Siddush on that. That it says in the Mishnah. His point is, in other words, that if it was shechted L'shem a different Chatas, then it would be kosher. My timer. Why is that? Because the pasuk says a shachat oisul a chatas amar achuna. The pasuk says you should shecht it as a chatas, but a chatas l'shem chatas. So what's the problem? You have a chatas as a chatas. On the other hand, nishchat to l'shem oila psula. If it's shechted as an oila, then of course it's going to be possible because the Mishnah tells us that chatas is one of the ones that has to be shechted l'shma. So that's Rava's first din. Then after, so chatos, it doesn't matter whether it was shechted, having in mind a different avera. Nevertheless, Rava says it's still kosher. Okay. Second din of Rava, the Amar Rava, chatos sheshochta amish mechuyev chatos psula. Now, on the other hand, if you were to shecht the chatos of Reuben, having in mind Shimon, and we're talking about Shimon Bailim, so we're talking about we shecht, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood on behalf of Shimon. If Shimon himself is chayev a chatos psula, then the korban will be possible. Al mish mechuyev ola, however, if it's just a Shimon, it's not chayev a chatos, only an ola, ksheira, then it will be kosher. My time. Why is that? Meaning an Ola, a person is chayv an Ola if he was over on a mitzvah saseh.
This chatas would work as an Ola?
So this chatas, no. So it would still work. He's shechting it on behalf of Shimon, having in mind as if it's on behalf of Shimon, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood on behalf of Shimon. However, it turns out Shimon is the farmer chayv a chatas. So it's being brought as a chatas. It's being brought as a chatas. He's having in mind the chatas. He's just shechting it on behalf of the wrong person. So we're saying it was planning to sprinkle the blood on behalf of the wrong person. Rava is saying if that wrong person, if Shimon is not actually chayav achatas, then it will be kosher. Only if Shimon himself is chayav achatas, then it's considered shumi by them and it's possible.
So it will be kosher as a
korban chatas for Reuben.
For the different for the other guy? Or
yeah, for the original person who bought it. Shimon Bailim would be only if he shechts it for Reuven, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon himself is chayev in that korban. That's what Rava is saying. Shimon is not chayev in that korban. Tosfos discusses that. What are we talking about? This other person is chayev and Ola. Do we mean that he hadn't even designated his animal for the Ola yet, or do we mean he designated it but he didn't bring it yet? We had the whole discussion in the Gemara yesterday about whether after a person designated a korban, whether it's able to be mechatra for mitzvah saseh that he does after he designated it before it was shechted, or Rabbi Yomi had brought up the possibility maybe even after it was shechted. So over here when we talk about a person who's chayev for a mitzvah saseh, we mean when it hasn't yet been covered by his Ola. So Rava says it'll be cautious. My timer, why is that? Because the pasuk of the Chiper Ola, where do we know before that the concept of Shimi Bailim is because the pasuk says you should be Mechaper for him, from which we learn Ola V'loya Chaveroi, from which we learn it means only for him, but not for somebody else. That's where we learn that if it is Shimi Bailim would make it possible. Well, Chaveroi, Dumi Yedidei. Well, Rava says the Chaveroi in that Drosha has to be similar to him. The mechuy of kapara kamoise, namely somebody who's chayev of the same kind of kapara. So somebody else who's chayev of a korban chatas just like he is. So now he has in mind when he shechts Reuven's korban that he's going to sprinkle the blood on behalf of Shimon. Then that's going to be possible because Shimon himself is chayev of chatas. But if Shimon himself is not chayev of chatas, then you can't say that he's in the category of befoul. So therefore, so wouldn't pass the korban. To Amar Rava, then Rava says another thing. Now Rava says another din on the other hand. If a person were to shecht a chatas, having in mind somebody who's not chayav anything, somebody who's not chayav any chatas or an oila, psula, then it would actually be possible because there's no, it's impossible to find a yid who's not before you, but Esther. Inevitably, you're going to have it. Other main bars, a shayasa tovala yasa. A person is always going to miss out some mitzvah sase that he cannot, that he didn't do. If nothing else, you know, you have a Gemara in Brachas that says, kishbish will imotze yipu the vital Torah. If a person is having yisurim and he can't find any reason for it, then he should consider that there may have been vital Torah. There may have been time when he could have spent learning and he didn't. That's also an Esther. So therefore, in that sense, in other words, a person is always going to be mechuyav an Esther. And so therefore, so in effect, therefore, he is high, so he is in effect chayev, so he is chayev for an essay. And the Omar Rava, and Rava says another din that goes together with that, which is, so what, that the person is chayev an essay? Didn't we just say that if he's shechts it on behalf of somebody who's chayev a hatas, it's not a problem? Because Rava says, because Rava says that a chatas would actually be able to be mechaper on a person who was over an esser based on a kavah choymer. Normally a chatas is basically being brought to a loisus. Person ate a chalev, dam, grilled shabbos, yishchak over the zara, whatever, did any of the 36 chrisos. Most of them are mitzvahs loisas. The two of them, Pesach and Mila, are mitzvahs asay, but fine, you don't bring a chatas for not doing those. But anyway, so a chatas is basically for a loisas. But Rava is telling you a chiddush over here that a chatas actually works to be mechaper for an essay as well. Mikavah choymer, based on a kavah choymer. Achayven, Christus, mechaperes. If a chatas is able to be mechaper for somebody who would have been chayv chores, which is much more severe, achayve essay like Folshekin, how much more so that it should be mechaper for somebody who's chayv for an essay, which is much less stringent. Most of the time for an essay, a person doesn't get anything. Most of the time, a person does an essay. In fact, we're going to learn on Omer Beis, an essay, a person does trigger right away. He's forgiven on the spot. There's nothing more than he needs. Only with a mitzvah lois essay do you have where he needs Yom Kippur, and with Chorus, he needs more than different other Averis. He needs more than that. The Altidever, by the way, spends some time on the first page of the Geras HaTshuva, and in Tanya, and the Geras HaTshuva, pointing out that, you know, you have, it is true that failing to do an essay in a way is more serious than a lois essay, in the sense of Pesha or Nedar, the Altidever says, because you have a light, you have an energy of a course that could have been brought down into the world through that mitzvah essay, and now you missed it out, and there's no making it out. And the whole almost lo yuchal listening. But in terms of the pagam that the person created in the world, the pagam of a lois essay, the fact that he disobeyed Hashem, is much more serious than failing to do a mitzvah essay. So the Altidever says, a person shouldn't think from that, then okay, big deal, I missed the mitzvah essay. It doesn't mean anything, it means a lot. It's our own neder, and it's more of a slayer for this time, but in terms of the severity of it, a lois essay is worse. Certainly a lois essay has been part of this worse. So therefore, Rava says, by a kavah choymer, the chatas ought to be able to work on behalf of an essay as well. Well, therefore, putting those two things together, then it means, in other words, if a person is chayev and oila, so we said, Rava said, if he shechted a chatas on his behalf, then it's kosher, because since he already designated his oila, then his oila is supposed to be covering his essays that he already did. So therefore, there's no room for this chatas to be covering those. On the other hand, if as far as he knows, he's not currently... In violation of any essay, and he hasn't designated a korban, now you have a problem. When this chatas is brought, if it was going to be brought on his behalf, if he was truly chayav chatas, it would be mechaper for his essays as well. Therefore, we can consider when it's Ruvain's chatas and it's being shechted on behalf of Shimon, then in effect it's also trying to be mechaper for something for Shimon, and that's no good. That's shunei b'ayin. So therefore, Rava says, it won't work. Tosfos discusses over here a couple of other girsas. The Tosfos brings another girsa that the girsa is not chatas for shachdal mishanim choyfun, but oila for shachdal mishanim choyfun. That if it was an oila that was shechted on behalf of somebody else who, as far as he knows, is not chayev anything, then it would be possible because it would be shunei by them. Because again, the other person is also chayev an oila. In that case, then, if we go that way, then. And then Tosfos points out there's a reason to say this based on the continuation of the Gemara. But anyway, the point is, according to that, the two statements that we just said of Rava don't necessarily have to do one with another. That Rava would be saying, A, that if a Ola of Reuven was shechted having in mind Shimon, then it would be, when Shimon is not, in fact, chayev an esed, then it would be possible. And B, by the way, a separate din, you should know when Reuven brings a chatas, it covers not only the lois esed for which he's bringing it, it also covers esed that he did before as well. The Chofetz Chaim, by the way, in his sefer, the Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer on Seder Kodshim called the Pitei Halachas. It's basically meant to, like this, you have the Rif on most of Shas. the Rif goes through the Gemara and takes out all the, you know, back and forth and gives you the bottom line statement that the Gemara says that's meant to be the halacha. So it's not like the Rambam where he reformulated it into a whole different seder. He follows the order of the Gemara, but nevertheless, like this, in a whole shakra matalia, he'll just give you the bottom line. Now, the Rif wrote only on the Masechtas that are applicable nowadays. So he didn't write on most of the Seder Kodshim, because until we have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have that.
How long was he around?
The Rif was an early Rishon. The Rif was an early Rishon. His life overlaps that of Rashi, but he was born earlier than Rashi and passed away. Not overlaps. He was born some 20 odd years before Rashi, the Rif, and he passed away 2 years before him. So we're talking about early Rishon. We're talking like 900 years ago. Yeah. So you have his Sefer HaLachas that you have in the back of most volumes of the Gemara, but he didn't write on Sefer Kodshim mostly because it's not applicable nowadays. So now the Chofetz Chaim did something similar. He put together Lufurte HaLachas on these Masechtas, including Zvachim, and wrote a Pirush on it as well. So he points out in the Sefer Lufurte HaLachas, Rava's statement over here that a Chatas ought to work on behalf of an Esther, you would probably have to say, he said, that would mean only if he failed to do the Esther B'Shoigim. Because after all, Dayel of Omen Adin Lis Kenodin, you're going to make a Kavachoyim over you. A Chatas is Mechapra only when a person did the Aveda B'Shoigim, a Chelev of blood of Rok Shabbos or what have you. So if we're going to make a Kavachoyim from that, then it should work for an Esther as well. It would only mean if he did the Esther by mistake. He woke up late and then missed Kudishma or whatever. We're not talking about what he did B'Mezim. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's fine. Continues the Gemara. So the Gemara says, on this last part that Rava is saying, so you're telling me that a chatas is able to be mechaper on a mitzvah saseh as if it was an ola. So the question is, lememra de basim, you know, so you're telling me then that the kapora for a mitzvah saseh is considered part of the category of a chatas, and therefore, in other words, you're saying that a chatas, that the scope that a chatas covers is two things. It covers a certain lois saseh, and it also covers all the assays he's done until that he's failed to do until that point. The problem is, that contradicts a different statement that Rava just said, one of these seven statements of Rava. Well, Amar Rava, chatas hashachta, al mishim b'choyev chatas psula, al mishim b'choyev oyla kshera. Rava had just said before that if he shefted a chatas of Reuven, having in mind to be mechaper on behalf of Shimon, then it will be possible. Because that's Shini Bailim. But if he had in mind Shimon, and Shimon himself is chayev a chatas, that would be possible. But if he shefted on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon is not chayev a chatas, and Shimon is only chayev an oyla, then it would be kosher. So therefore, see, a chatas is not being mechaper on what an oyla is mechaper for. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Otherwise, we would say it's still considered that he's mechoyev in the same thing, that chatas is supposed to be covering, and it ought to be possible. It's shini bayim. The answer is, again, like the Gemara had given the answer before, on Daf Vav, mikiva le mechapra, mikufke mechapra. It's not a fixed kind of kapara that the chatas accomplishes for somebody who was over an essay, but it is mechapra, mikufya, as like a floating kapara. As we learned yesterday, the word kufya in Aramaic means floating, so like incidental. So you have that kind of, there's an incidental kapara within a chatas that also covers, that can also cover the oil. So therefore, so now we can say, when Reuven is chayev a chatas and Shimon is chayev only an oila, then we would say it's not considered the same min. So therefore, so it's not a problem, and therefore the korban is in fact kosher. Because Shimon is not going to have a kavua dikta kapara from the chatas that was supposed to be offered on behalf of Reuven. So therefore, it's not considered Shimon by Reuven. But on the other hand, but there is a certain limited kind of kapara mikufia, floating kapara, and therefore within the person himself, when Reuven brings his own chatas, it will also, in a floating kind of way, cover also all the essays that he previously failed to do. So that's the difference. Another din of Rava, v'amar Rava, this one we also learned for on Beis Hamikdash, v'amar Rava, an oila or any other korban that you shechted for any other one except the ones that are outright possible, a pesach and a chatas, so an oila, shlomim, toido, the rest of them, osham, that you shechted shaloi l'shma, also lizrik dama shaloi l'shma. You still also to sprinkle the blood shaloi l'shma. You still have a mitzvah to do the rest of the avodas l'shma. And the Rambam, by the way, mentions even if three of the four of them were done shaloi l'shma. Let's say he did the shchita and the kabbalah and the halacha all shaloi l'shma. So there's only one avodah left. That avoda, do l'shma already. Do it right. And Rava says, if you want, I can give you a pasuk for this. If you and if you want, I can give you a svara for it. If you want, I can bring you a pasuk that shows this point. The pasuk says that we've been quoting a number of times in the last few blah. Moitzas pasecha tishma v'gemer, eat what came out of your mouth, and you bring your nedarim and nedavos to Hashem. Now, the pasuk says, kasha nedarta l'Hashem alekecha nedavo, as you vowed to Hashem your God, a nedavo. Now, a neder and a nedavo are two different things. A neder is harei olai. The chiyuv to bring the korban is on me. And that means you chayev b'achriyusa. If the korban doesn't get brought for whatever reason, then you have to make it up. On the other hand, a nedavo is harei zu. To begin with, you say, this animal is going to be designated as a korban. And if it dies or whatever, that's it. You're butter, because this animal is not available anymore. And now is the pasuk saying, kachem nedarcha l'ashem alekecha nedavo, isn't it contradictory? So the answer is, Rava explained, the pasuk is implying that you can have a case where you vowed a neder, but now something went wrong, but therefore it becomes a nedavah. So in other words, exactly that. You vowed, you made a neder, harei olai oila. Now you bring your animal for your oila. But whoever shechted it mistakenly, not mistakenly, mistakenly, we'll talk about later in the sechta, deliberately, let's say, whatever. For right now, let's get on, not into that. He shechted it having in mind that it's a shlom. Now we're saying he's not yotzei, he has to bring another one. Nevertheless, now it still goes. It gets moved from neder to nedava. But as Rava pointed out on Beis and Beis, a nedava also, if you bring a korban and a nedava, you still have to do the avodas lishma. Therefore, that's what happened. In effect, in the middle of the avodas of this korban, it turned from a neder into a nedava. Nevertheless, a nedava still has to be brought lishma. The same thing over here. Even though three of the four avodas were done shaloi lishma, now you still have the opportunity. Do the right thing. Do as if it was a nedava, and do the last one lishma. So therefore, that would be the pasuk. You've already said a svara, and another thing you could say there's a svara involved. After all, mishum deshani b'chodah, just because you changed one thing, should you continue changing more things? The Gemara elsewhere has the expression misha ochol shum v'reichin noidif. If a person ate garlic and his breath smells bad, yochol shum achav v'yereichin noidif. Should he eat more garlic so his breath smells even worse? You already messed up in one thing. At least don't keep on doing. Don't compound what you did wrong. So here we shechted shalom mishma. At least do the rest of the avodas lishma. So that would be the spot. A kiddush kirka, as we learned at the beginning of the parak on beis and aleph and on beis. Omar Rava, and Rava says another din. This is now the sixth one of his dinim. Ola habol achamisa. When an ola is brought after the original owner died, so we talked about previously, for example, a yeledes. A woman gave birth. She has to bring a chafas and an ola. Let's say she died after bringing the chafas. Let's say she brought the chafas and then died. Then her yoshim have to bring the ola. That led us into this whole discussion.
The
opposite. Well, first of all, the chatzas is always brought first. I was going to explain in a minute. But we learned that in Arius as well. First of all, the chatzas is always brought first. But second of all, chatzas, you don't bring lachamisa. So chatzas shemesu ba'aleha is one of the five chatzos that has to be left to die. So it can't work that way, right? So it has to be after where the ola was left unbrought. So now we're saying who Yoshim bring the Ola. That led us into that whole discussion of whether they can be miskaper with it and so on and so forth, which has been taking up since Heyom and Beis. So now Rava says, Shachta b'shinui kodesh psula. Now if this korban were to be shechted with a thought of shinui kodesh, thinking that it's a different kind of korban, psula, then it's possible, not possible in the, again, not possible completely, but possible in the sense that the owner is not Yodzin. So therefore the Yodish would actually have to bring another korban. Tosfos actually discussed this a few blocks ago. Why would the Yodish necessarily have to bring another korban? It wasn't their chiyuv in the first place, after all. It was their mother's chiyuv. Now, you get into the question over here called shibuda d'oraisa or shibuda lav d'oraisa. When you talk about the Seder Nezikin, for example, the whole concept that Reuven owes Shimon money, and therefore there's a shibud on his property, and eventually Shimon can go and collect that property if Reuven doesn't pay up. Is that concept of a shibud d'oraisa or only d'rabban? And that has a nafimina as far as the dinim of korbanos. When you say I obligate myself to bring a korban, you're creating a responsibility on yourself to bring a korban. In other words, to give Hashem an object worth X amount or an object of such and such. Now, if the person who made that neder passes away, and now is there a shibud midaraisa on his yoshim to bring it out of his estate? In that case, then they have to bring it. If not, then we would just only, if not daraisa, then they wouldn't necessarily have to bring it. So here, when we're talking about that the yoshim are not yotze and they're going to have to bring another one, that seemingly would only work according to the opinion that shibuda daraisa. If you say shibuda lav daraisa, why should they have to bring another one? some Tosfos talks about that can be talking about, let's say, for example, to begin with, the woman, for example, set aside two oilas for achrayims, as we learned before, and we're going to learn various places in the Masechta. Sometimes a person might want to set aside two of the same korban as a backup. In case one of them gets lost or disqualified or whatever, then he has the other one as a backup.
So the backup one has to be boiled.
So the din is actually, so the typical din is that you bring one of them as a korban and the other one has to be left until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and you use the money for a different korban. You can't give it as an adava, no. Well, in the case of an olo or something, you could, but whatever. Anyway, So now, let's say, so Tosfos discusses that you can say, for example, then, so he makes a deal like this. He makes a condition. If one of them dies or gets lost, then the second one will be brought as an Ola. But if the first one has already been brought properly, then the second one will become Cholin. So now, when the Yoshim bring the first one, Shaloi Lashma, in effect, the first one has been lost, so now the second one has to be brought. But if the first one is brought properly, then the second one will be Cholin. So therefore, so that could be what we mean about here, Psula, in the sense that now, because the first one is Shaloi Lashma, therefore they're obligated to bring the second one. And that would work, even if Shibud Alab Daraisa, because it's not a matter of a Shibud on their state in general, we're talking about the specific animals that were set aside. That's how Tosfos explains earlier on Daf Aleph. Anyway, so... So again, Rava says that if they shechted b'shinui kodesh p'sula, b'shinui bailim p'sheva, on the other hand, if they had in mind a different owner, then it would be kosher and it would actually count as a fully valid part. And the reason is that in bailim macha misra, because it doesn't really have an owner after it died. In effect, it's almost like a test. So therefore, so you can't really say that there could be a concept of shinui bailim. What do you mean? You're having in mind, instead of Rochel, you're bringing it on behalf of Leah. It doesn't really belong to Rochel anymore if it passed away. So therefore, so it's not considered shuni bailim, says the Rava.
But you're bringing it either here nor
there. Well, you're not really in the shmasa because you don't really have a concept. You have a concept of in kapara la mason. The mason don't really get a kapara. We talk about it in Herdius in connection with the egla arufa and in connection with the parel and brother from Sibur.
You're right, Mr. Nishmasa.
So really, nishmasa is something else. You can give stuff, even the mason tovim and everything, but as far as the kapara, the korban doesn't really apply so much for the mason. To a certain limited extent, yes, the Gemara had brought over there in Herdius, we had over there about the egla arufa, when it says kapara la'amfei so la shapodisa, that's a kapara even for the yotz and its dying, for the people who left Mitzrayim thousands of years ago. So to that extent, you do have a certain kapara in that, but really, it's not, again, it's more like a mikufia kapara. It's more like a floating kind of thing rather than a real, genuine kapara. Anyway, so Rava is saying, when you're in Bailam La'achamisa, the owner, in effect, doesn't own it anymore, so therefore, you can't really talk about Shini Bailam. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rav Pinchas Breder Rav Ami Omer Yesh Bailam La'achamisa. Rav Pinchas Breder Rav Ami says, no, there is an owner after Misa. Now, what does that mean? Omer Rav Ashi Rav Pinchas Ba'ami. What do you mean by that state? Do you mean that as a specific statement? You're actually coming to argue with Rava, and you mean to say, do you mean to say, therefore, that the Yoshim would actually have to bring another Ola, because this first one was Shinui Bailim, and therefore it's no good? Again, if you say Shibuda Daraisa, it would mean they're always obligated to bring another one, and if it's Shibuda Lav Daraisa, then as Tosfos says, you'd have that specific case involving Achrai or similar to that, where they'd have to bring the second one. So do you mean that? Or maybe you only mean that it's considered Yesh Bailam La'achamisa, the E Ika Kama Esa Gabe, that if the Yoshim themselves have various S's that they failed to do, Mechapra, then it will be Mechapra for them. So in other words, maybe you're saying Yesh Bailam La'achamisa doesn't mean the original owner still owes it. Maybe all you mean is that it didn't become Hester. The Yoshim are fully acquiring that korban, and therefore if they themselves were over on various S's, then therefore this korban will cover them. If they themselves don't feel like bringing an oila, then they're not going to be obligated to, because listen, I mean, they themselves didn't make a neder that they're chai of any kind of oila or something. So therefore, you wouldn't hold that on them. Various achronim talk about exactly what we're dealing with over here. For example, if we're saying that they're not obligated at all, then maybe they shouldn't be chai of even with shini hashem. Why is Rava saying with shini hashem they would be chai of having another one, and with shini bailim they wouldn't? So there's quite a bit of discussion about the ins and outs of what Rashi is explaining over here on this whole thing. So one point is a couple of Achronim discussed. Would we say, according to the Pinchas, that the fact that because of Shinui Bailim, it won't count for their father's choiv at all, or would we say that at least it won't prevent it from working for the father's choiv, but nevertheless it'll work for their kapara as well? So Rav Ashi asked the Pinchas, what do you mean by that? Amalei Davka Kamina. So he says, I mean that I'm actually arguing with Rava, and I would say there is concept of Shunei Bailim, Ma'achamisa, and therefore if the Yoshim shechted it, having an area, if it was shechted, not the same the Yoshim, then they would in fact have to bring another korban, depending on whether she would have done Raisa or not, would affect what are the scenarios in which that other korban would have to be brought. The seventh din that Rava says, the Omar Rava, Oila Doron. You should realize that the Oila is considered a present. It's true, it's Mechapa for an Esser, but the main Kapara for the Kapara, it's not accomplishing actual Kapara. After a person did Shuva for failing to do the Esser, then the Oila is like that he should be welcomed again by Hashem. In other words, like you have, as the Gemara is going to talk about in a couple of lines, like a person did something bad against the king, first he needs somebody to appease the king for him, to talk to the king and convince the king to forgive him, then the next time he sees the king, he's going to send him a present, so he's back in the king's good grace. So the same way everything. But the Gemara says, hey, for Yomi, well, that's exactly, because after all, Robert is saying, but otherwise, how would you think of it? How otherwise could an Oila be Mechapa for an S? Idaleka Trova, if he didn't actually do Trova, he's still considered a Rosha. Zebach Roshoyim Ta'eva, as the Pasuk phrases it, the korban of Roshoyim is disgusting to Hashem. So if he didn't even, he failed to say Krishma, or put on tefillin, or do whatever mitzvahs I say, and I don't care about that, I'm just going to bring an Oila. Why would Hashem forgive him for that? Why would Hashem even accept this korban? The Nevi'im, by the way, over and over, were criticizing the Jewish people for exactly that kind of thing. They think that Korbanos alone are good enough, and you don't need Tshuva, and you don't need Ma'asim Tovim, and Yeshaya tells them, and Yirmiyah tells them. In that case, Hashem says, we need your Korbanos. In Tilum you have it, in Kapitel Nun, Im Erav Lo'im Aloch, what do you think I need? I'm hungry and I need your Korbanos. Zvachle, the Kim Tov, Vishalim, the main point is you need to listen to what the Eivishta says. So there has to be Shuva. The Ika Shuva, and Rabbah says, and if he had done Shuva, then he doesn't need an Oiva. The Tanya, a Hal Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Over on Mitzvah's Esser Vishav, if a person in Oiva on a Mitzvah's Esser and he did Shuva, Loi Zos Mishama Shemokhon Loi. He doesn't move from there immediately on the spot, he's forgiven. So why would there be a need for an Oiva in the first place? El Shmamina Durden, who therefore we speak from that the Oiva is fundamentally a gift. So now here the Gemara brings the simon for the seven dinim that Rav had said, chatas al mi mechaper oila la'acha durin simon, a key word for each of the seven statements that Rav said. The Rav David Powder and Lamed Sechel David points out a deeper meaning behind this simon over here. The mi has to do with bina, so it has to do like he explains the chatas has to be on a higher level. It has to be chatas for things involving bina. That's why we're going to learn later in the Masechta that the blood of a chatas goes on the top half of the mizbeach as opposed to the oila. We're saying over here is like a durin, which is like a lower thing. The oila is more compared to mal to zah. As he explains how Durdan over here has to do with Zah, so it's on a lower level. So the Gemara, in other words, is hinting in this simon over here to the respective places of a chatas and an oila within the ten spheres, within what they're machaper for. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami, in fact, we learn a braisa like what Rava said. Omer Reb Shimon, chatas loma ba. Reb Shimon says, why does a person bring a chatas? And the Gemara interjects with him, loma ba. Lachatar, a person needs kapara, he has to bring a chatas. So the answer, Ella, what Reb Shimon meant is, Lama ba lifnei oila. Why is the chatas always brought before the oila? And we learned about this at the end of Hodeus. Chatas kedemes la'oila b'chol makom. The chatas always comes before the oila.
So you said forgiven for the way
right? That's the answer. So he says the praklet. So he gives a marshal the praklet chenichnas. It's like when a person did something bad against the king. So he sends an advocate on his behalf to go and ask the king to be moichel him. Ritza Praklet, only after the advocate has defended him successfully in front of the king, and now the king is saying, fine, I forgive him. Now, the next time this person comes to visit the king, then he brings a present that the king should be in favor of him again. You do actually have choice, which points out there are certain kinds of oilas that are not brought for for an essay at all. You have, for example, a Yoledes, a Matsoda, et cetera. They have to bring a korban in order to be able to allow to eat kodshim. So their korban is not really a regular kind of ola. Nevertheless, the rule is katas kademis la'ola in all cases because we don't make the distinction. The one distinction we learned is in Apodius, we said, when it comes to Seiri Avodah Zarah, when the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha and passed him that a certain kind of Avodah Zarah is mutter, and we said that then the Tzibur brings a sorer l'cha'a, brings out a par as a hatas, and it brings out a par and a sorer, there we said there's an exception that the sorer is brought first, and then the par. So we said there, so I mentioned over there an explanation, I think from the Rogachover, the reason is because once they worship Avodah Zarah, then you can't really say, you can't talk about bringing a status. So they're actually the oiler. They're the oiler is brought first. They're the oiler is brought first against the usual rule. So the explanation, the oiler there is brought first against this rule. So I think there was an explanation from the Rogachover, that the reason is, once they all worship Avodah Zarah like that, they become a shtickle like goyim. A goy can only bring an oiler. A goy cannot bring a chasas. So therefore they have to bring an oiler first. Now they get restored to their position as Jews. Now they can bring a chasas. Fine. Now let's turn to, so far we've been discussing the first part of the Mishnah, or these last few lot, the point where it says that most korbanos that if they're brought shalom l'shman are kosher, but they don't count for the owner. So now let's turn to the Mishnah, it says, chutz min ha-pesach v'achatas. The exception of the Pesach and the Chatas fula, that they are completely possible, meaning if they were shechted or any of the four avodas were done shalom l'shma, you stop right there, you don't continue the korban, you take it and burn it in the place where psulam of Goshen are supposed to be burned, and you have to start all over again. So let's work on Pesach Manolah. So first, let's see, where do we know this concept by a Pesach that we have? Now we have two things, really, that we need to figure out. Number one, how do we know that a Pesach, the flour, has to be brought to Shema? Now, Rashi points out like this. We had before the Pesach, Zoi Satoda, La'ola, La'mincha, La'hatas, La'osham, La'miluim, La'zevach HaShlomim. But the Pesach is not listed in that Pesach. So we said there's a hekesh between all the korbanos and shlomim, and we said just like a shlomim has to be l'shmoy, therefore all the other korbanos as well. But the Pesach is not in that pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara says, first of all, we need to know b'chlal, how a Pesach even needs to be shechted l'shmoy. And then once we do that, we also need to know, how do we know that by the Pesach, it's indispensable, and if you didn't do it l'shmoy, that the korban is going to be outright pasuk. So we need to work out both those things. So like the stichtim, the pasuk says, shomer as chodesh ha'aviv, guard the month of Aviv, the month of Nisan, Va'asisa Pesach, and you should make a Pesach. So when it says Va'asisa Pesach, you should make a Pesach, that means Shiyu Kolasiyos of L'Shem Pesach, means that all of the doings, all of the actions of the korban have to be done L'Shem Pesach. Because, in other words, the point is, the words Va'asisa Pesach is extra, because it says already, the next Pesach says V'Zavachta Pesach. So it already says you should shechet the Pesach. So if it says over here, V'Asisa Pesach, then it means it's for a Jerusha, that it means that all the doings, all the actions of the Pesach have to be L'Shem. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ashkusan Shinui Kodesh. Fine, that takes care of Shinui Kodesh. So having in mind that the Pesach was some other korban, we see from this pasuk that you're not supposed to do that. We haven't yet gotten to how we know it's ma'akev, that we're going to get to soon. But first we have to deal with, again, how we know b'chlal, that l'shma even applies to the Pesach, because on the face of it, we don't have it from the hekesh of Zoi Sator. So the Gemara says, Shinui Bailim Minol, on how we know the same concept applies to Shinui Bailim. And the answer is because we're not a pasuk. The pasuk says in Parshas Bo, "Ba'amautam zevach Pesach." You should say that it is a korban of Pesach. Shetei zvicha l'shem Pesach, from which we learn that the shechting has to be done l'shem Pesach. It didn't have to say zevach Pesach. Ba'amautam Pesach. So this is an answer to when the son asks Maha Avodah Zos Lachem, and he answers him Ba'amautam zevach Pesach. So it could have said Ba'amautam Pesach. So the zevach teaches us shetei zvicha l'shem Pesach, that the shechting then has to be done l'shem Pesach. So now, in the Shinui Kodesh. Now, so therefore, we have two psukim that teach us that Shinui Kodesh, it has to, that you can't have Shinui Kodesh by the Korban Pesach. Since we don't need it, because we already have it by Vasisa Pesach, Tineo Inyan, the Shinui Bailim, then like we learned before, you can take it and use it for a related thing, and therefore teach us Shinui Bailim. Now, Tosfos points out, the order of the psukim in that case is backwards. V'asisa Pesach is in Parashas Re'eh, V'amartam Zevach Pesach is in Parashas Boy. So why doesn't the Gemara do the other way around? Why doesn't it say the one in Boy teaches us about Shinui Kodesh, and the one in Re'eh teaches us about Shinui Bailim? Because you're going to say, in Inyan, because you don't need it, because you already had in Fumash Shmos. Tosfos answers because the words of Asisa Pesach suggest all the Asiyas, all the doings in the Pesach. The words of Amartam Zevach Pesach will cover only the Shita, but Asisa Pesach is more general. It covers all the Asiyas. So therefore, the Gemara prefers to learn it that way and to say that it means everything. Shittim of the Breakfast brings another point as well from a different collection of Tosfos called Tosfos and Avenu Peretz, that like this. When it comes to Shinui Bailim, as we've been saying all this time, Shinui Bailim is only going to pass only if he had in mind that the Zrika is going to be the same as somebody else. So it means Shinui Bailim and Shita would mean that he has in mind, I'm shechting now, having in mind that the blood later is going to be sprinkled the same as somebody else. Same thing with Kabbalah, same thing with Halacha. When it comes to Shinui Kodesh, though, that applies individually to each of the four avodas. Just shechting alone, the shame of different korban, or not even having in mind the zrika, just doing the Kabbalah, the shame of different korban, etc., is enough to pass it. Therefore, if the pasuk is saying the asisa pesach, implying that all the asiyas have to be the shame pesach, then it's more logical to say that refers to Shinui Kodesh, which applies individually to all the avodas. And then, if we have another pasuk, then we'll use it imein in lozet, tenei in lozet, and use it for Shinui Bais. So the Gemara says, Ashkus on the mitzvah. Fine, so far so good. That tells us you have a mitzvah to bring the Pesach l'shma. La'akiv menolon. How do we know that by the Korban Pesach it's ma'akiv and the Korban is outright posel if you don't do it l'shem Kodesh, or if you do it with Shinui Kodesh or Shinui Bailim? The answer is well, Omakra is a Vachta Pesach, Hashem Elokecha. The pasuk says you can shech the Pesach for Hashem your God. So now we already have that there's a mitzvah to do the Shema. So now it has to be when the Torah is repeating again. Again, you have the concept called Shona Olva Kosev La'akiv. When the Torah repeats something, then it means it will tell us it's Ma'akiv. So here you have two psukim, Ba'asisa Pesach, and there's a Vachta Pesach. And because of that, we learn not only that you're supposed to do it the Shema, but you have to do it the Shema, and if not, it's possible. So the Gemara says, Master, but Absafra. So Absafra says, wait a minute. I was a vachta lahachi drasha. You're telling me the word vachta is coming for that drasha. We need that pasuk vachta pesach to teach us a different drasha, namely what Rav Nachman says. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Lavua, minayim lemosa pesach. How do we know a leftover pesach? So let's say, for example, a person designated an animal for a pesach, and before erev pesach, he lost it. The animal's lost, and now he can't. Now he still needs an animal for a Pesach. So he goes and takes another sheep and brings it. And then afterwards, on the first day of Yom Tov, running time later, he finds the original animal. What happens with it? So Rav Nachman says that shekorev shlomim. That animal is now brought as a shlomim. And basically, you have a lot of different cases in Masechta Pesachim. We're going to have some of them in our Masechta as well, where, yes, a Pesach almost automatically turns into a Shlomim if it wasn't brought in time. So how do we know that? Shenema, because the Pesach says, V'zavach the Pesach, Hashem alakach atzoinu v'okam. You should shech the Pesach to Hashem, your God, sheep or cattle. Now, what do you mean sheep or cattle? V'alo yen Pesach, bo'o elemin akvosu mina izin. We see from Parashas Bori that the Korban Pesach is only a sheep or a goat. So what do you mean you should bring a Korban Pesach from the cattle? So we can Moshe Pesach. She dover habomen atzonim and abdoker. Therefore, teaches us that a leftover Pesach is used to bring a korban that can come from any sheep and any cattle. Umayinu shlomim. The only korban that fits that is shlomim, because Rashi points out every other korban you have limitations of what kind of animal it can be. An ola and an osham have to definitely be a male animal, so they can't be female. They can't be female sheep or female goat. The pasuk isn't right. We're talking the Korban Pesach itself has to be Zachar ben Shana. We know that. But the Korban Pesach also has to be either a sheep or a goat. Here the Torah is telling you should bring a Korban Pesach to Hashem, Tzoin Uvokar. Cattle or sheep. Sheep or cattle. Now that implies, Tzoin actually is a generic term that includes sheep and goats. So flocks or cattle. So sheep, goats, or cattle. And that implies any kind of sheep, any kind of goat, any kind of cattle. Now the Korban Pesach itself, not. It can only be sheep and goats to begin with. It can't mean that a leftover Pesach is brought as an Ola or an Osham, because an Ola and an Osham can only be males. So therefore, you're leaving out half the sheep and half the cattle, half the flocks and half the cattle that are available. You can't say it means a chatas because a regular person brings Zavka a female, and the king, as we learned in Herodias, brings Zavka a male. every other program, you have a specific kind of animal, either a specific gender or a specific type of animal that's designated for the carbon. The shlomim is the only one where it's across the board. You can bring a male sheep, you can bring a male, or you can bring a bull or a cow. You can bring a ram. You can bring a male sheep, a ram, a male sheep, or a female sheep. You can bring a male goat or a female goat. So therefore, when the pasuk is saying, that the Pesach can be any kind of sonu, any kind of bakar, the only carbon that works for is a shlom. So therefore, we learn from that that a leftover Pesach is brought as a shlomim. Well, therefore, using the word v'zavachta for that. So we don't have v'zavachta available to teach us that if a Pesach is shechted shalom l'shmoy, that it should be positive. You don't have the Shana Alu HaKosim Akin. In fact, Tosfos points out that a Gemara in Menachos actually also uses the Vizavata Pesach for yet another Zerosha. So you certainly don't have it available for this Zerosha over here about Shalom HaShemayim. Ela Omer of Safra, so rather of Safra says, the Zavachta Pesach is going to be Lechidir of Nachman. The words of Zavachta Pesach are going to be used for Rav Nachman's Zerosha about the Pesach and the Shlomim. But you have the beginning of the pasuk Shomer Asodesh Aviv, when it says guard the month of Aviv, that will be the mitzvah of the Shinui Kodesh. From there, we will learn that you have to shecht at the Shmoy, and that there's that you're supposed to shecht at the Shmoy, that there's a mitzvah to shecht at the Shmoy. Ramartim zevach pesach v'shunei bailam mitzvah. Then the ramartim zevach pesach. Instead, we said since it's saying look a pesach, and you don't need it to teach us about pesach because you already have it. Then there we'll learn about shunei bailam. We may in lozet to name in lozet. Who? But now you also have, when it says, Va'amartim Zevach Pesach, who, that would be La'akiv, Bein Hocha V'Hocha, then it will be, that teaches us that it's Ma'akiv in both cases. Because Rashi explains, even though the who is mentioned, it's a who, first of all, means Ba'ava Yosei, means it has to be that way and it can't be changed. And since it's true, it's written by Va'amartim Zevach Pesach, where Rav Safra is saying, where that refers to Shunei Bailim, but nevertheless, since it sounds like it's also talking about, Shunei Kodesh, because after all, Zevach Pesach, so therefore we can use it for both. We can use the word Bu to teach us about both of them, that both Shunei Kodesh and Shunei Bailim are going to be possible. Fine. So the Gemara says, so the Ashkechon Zvicha, fine, so far so good. That teaches us then that if the shechting was done Shalom L'Shema by Pesach or Shalom L'Shem Bailim, that it's going to be possible. Shara Avodis Manolan. How do we know? The same rule applies to the other Avodis. So the question is how do we know by other avodas that Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailin that we're saying that how do we know if we're saying that we're learning from who, which is only in connection with Amartim Zevach Pesach, so maybe this concept that by Shinui Kodesh or Shinui Bailin it's hustle would apply only to Shita and not the other three avodas. So we need to know how it applies to the other one. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos brings a different way of understanding the question. That the question can also be we can say the who teaches us by all avodas Shinui Kodesh, and it teaches us specifically by Bailim. It teaches us the Shita. So the question might be only on Shinui Bailim how we know it applies to the other three avodas as well. Or as it actually says, it could be on both Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim. How do we know that's matter? So there's a couple of different ways of understanding the question. Anyway, so how do we know that it applies that applies La'akiv as well? That applies to the other three avodas as well. And the answer is gali. Once the Torah already revealed to us with the word of who that it passes by the Shita, then we can also learn that it applies to all the other ones as well. So here's where Tosfos mentions that the fact that the Gemara is giving that answer seems to fit that seems to fit better with the first explanation that the Gemara's question was specifically about Shinui Bailim. Once we've already established by Shinui Kodesh that it applies across the board to all four avodas, now if we find by Shinui Bailim that it says by Zvicha, then we have reason to say that it applies to the other three as well. But if you're going to say that the meaning of Gemara's question is on both of them, Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim, how do we know it's ma'akav by the other three? What do you mean? Go to the Galdi. Maybe Shita is different than the other ones, as we learned previously that Shita has a unique feature of its own. So the explanation for the statement of the Gemara, how the gali would fit better if we say that the Gemara's question was, so far we understand that by when it's with Shinui Kodesh, it's not active with all four avoidance. And by Shinui Bailim, it's not active with Shita. How do we know by Shinui Bailim the other three? So the answer will be how the gali. So the Gemara says, so that's one answer. Rav Ashi on the whole of a gali loyamin. Rav Ashi doesn't like that answer. You don't say just because the Torah said it by one, then therefore automatically we apply it to the other ones. After all, we do have, as we learned before, Shchita has unique features that the other ones don't. In fact, in connection with the Korban Pesach, we learned previously on Daf Gimel that, after all, the Korban Pesach, if it's shechted, shalola oichlov, uniquely, if the Korban Pesach is shechted, having in mind people who are not going to be able to eat a kazayas of it, then it's possible, which we don't find that by any of the Korban, and we don't find that by any of the other avodas of the Pesach either.
You have to have in mind all the people
who are registered for it, all the people who are registered for it, who therefore are going to be able to eat from it, and are physically capable of eating a kazayas.
Yes.
If you had in mind the whole group, and some of them are old people who can't eat a kazayas, and some of them could, then fine, it's not a problem. But if you had in mind only the people who can't eat the kazayas, then the korban is possible. And that's uniquely by shchita. So we see, the Gemara had said before, shchita has that unique feature that we don't find by any other avoda. So Rav Ashi is saying in the same vein over here, you're not going to say, oh, the gali, just because the Torah told us by shchita, therefore automatically it applies to all the other ones. Avoidus Minolon, how do we know rather that by the other avoidus that it's both Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim castles them? So we are going to learn it from a hekesh. We're going to use the hekesh of Zos HaTorah. The Pasuk says Zos HaTorah La'olavam in for the Gemara. Now it is true that the Pasuk there does not mention the Korban Pesach, but the Tanya, what we learn in a Braisa. The next Pasuk continues, the Yom Savoyseis B'nei Yisrael, on the day that Hashem commanded B'nei Yisrael, Lahakrivas Korbanehem, to bring their Korbanos. Now those words, Lahakrivas Korbanehem, include Zebchorim, Maiser, Pesach, they are also included in this Hekesh of Zos HaTorah. So therefore, so now we have a Hekesh between all the Korbanos, including Bechorim, Maiser, and Pesach, with the Shlomim. Therefore, he kishakos of the shlomim. So we have a hekesh with shlomim. Ma shlomim ben shunin kodesh ben shunin bailim be'inim mitzvah. So just like by shlomim, as we learned back on the dalad, you have droshes to say that you need that there's a mitzvah to do the right kodesh and the right bailim and not change it. Fine, by shlomim we said it doesn't pass over the korban, it's only a mitzvah, it's not active, but still we do have that mitzvah. After all, ben shunin kodesh ben shunin bailim the mitzvah. The same way, now we see that all korbanos you have a mitzvah, and ukishlomim. So now the other drushes that we had in connection with the Korban Pesach can be used to say that it's ma'akiv. All this time we were assuming we need a drusha for the Korban Pesach to say that it's even a mitzvah. And then we have to have another one ma'akiv. Now Rav Ashi is telling us, you don't need that. The Hekesh tells us that the Pesach is also, to begin with, included in the mitzvah of that it has to be the Shema and it has to be the Shein Bailim. And therefore, we have the drushes that are specifically by the Korban Pesach, or the Zavacha Pesach, or the Asisa Pesach, or who, any of that, are coming to teach us back. So, ukishlom.
What's the hekesh? What's the hekesh?
The hekesh is the fact that the Torah lists all the korbanos in two back-to-back psukim. Zois haTorah la'ola la'mincha la'achatas la'osham la'miluim la'zavach hashlomim, and then the next pasuk continues. The yom savoyseis b'nei Yisrael la'hakrivas korbanehem, on the day that Hashem commanded b'nei Yisrael to bring their korbanos. So we see that all the korbanos are put in one category, and therefore, since we have shlomim in the middle of the list, and shlomim we have psukim back on Daf Dalet that shows that the shlomim has to be sechter, and the blood has to be, and the kabbalah, and the holocha, and the zrika all have to be the shloy, and they all have to be the shein bailim. Then therefore we can. So now we can apply that to all the other korbanos. That's the point. So now we're going to compare them all to the shlomim, because we have a concept called ein hekesh lemechta. Once you're making a hekesh, you don't just do by things by halves. You compare everything that you can. Ma shlomim ben zvicha ben shara vodis lechilakta b'hem mitzvah. Just like by a shlomim, there's no difference between the shchita, the zvicha, and the other avodis. That all of them, there's a mitzvah to do them l'shma. After Pesach, the same way with the Korban Pesach, the same way with the Korban Pesach, there's no difference. Once we already established that the Zricha of the Korban Pesach has to be the Shema from one, and if not, then it's Ma'akiv from one of the Pesukim that we said before, then automatically you can say that it applies to the other Avodas and it's Ma'akiv. Mishum Shenema, who is Zricha in other Ma'akiv? Because since it says who, then it means Ma'akiv. So therefore, that's in parenthesis. That's in parenthesis. Rashi takes it out. It doesn't belong over here, really. The point is, therefore, we have drushes that we said now about the Korban Pesach from Valsisa Pesach or Zavata Pesach or Ramartim Zevach Pesach that the Shlita has to be, particularly Ramartim Zevach Pesach, that it has to be La'akiv. And once we say that, then the Hekesh with Shlomim teaches us the same is true of the other three Avodas. Just like by Shlomim, there's no difference between Shlita and the other three. So by the Pesach, there's no difference between the Shlita and the other three. Okay, so the Gemara finishes off there. What?
How do you know that the hekesh can be applied to different things, like shita, like the blood, like... How do you know that?
The hekesh teaches us all korbanos that are similar to a shlamim. A shlamim, we had drashas on daf dalet that says that all individually for all four of its avodas, that they need to be lishma. That in the case of a shlamim, it doesn't possible if it's shaloi lishma, or shaloi lishet bailam, just means they have to bring a different one, as we worked out over there. But the point is, we have a din by shlamim. The Hekesh teaches us that the same comparison between all four avodas that we find by Shlomim, the same comparison applies to all other korbanos as well. And the words v'hakrivas korbanehem include also v'chodah, ma'aser, and pesach, even though those are not listed explicitly in the pasuk. So therefore, we have a Hekesh that all korbanos, there's no difference as far as the matter of the Shema between one avodah and another. And since by the pesach, we know from v'amartem zevach pesach, that it means that it has to be, and if not, then it's by the shritah, it has to be the shema and the shem bailam, and if not, then it's possible, then therefore, automatically, we can extend that to the other three based on the hekesh with shlomim.
The other three
avoidus, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zirka. So the Gemara finishes off, Elohu lamali. Well, in that case, what are we using the who for? And the answer is the Hidatanya. The answer is the who by the Korban Pesach. We're not actually using for something in connection with the Korban Pesach, but we're learning from it something else. Nemar Pesach, Braisa says, Nemar Pesach who b'shchita la'akiv, where by the Korban Pesach it says who, and it means that by the shchita it's ma'akiv, and therefore it has to be l'shma, and it has to be the shem b'ayilim, and if not, then it's outright possible. Aval osham, but by an osham, even though it does say the word who, lo nema bar hu el achak torah se'morin. You know this a couple of blocks ago. That by the osham, it does say the word who, but it says it only after the emurim are offered on the mizbeach. After the emurim are offered, v'hikri v'zakol ha-mizbeach, isha la-Hashem, it's a fire offering to Hashem, osham hu. Only there does it say the word who. So there we learn. So the who asma shalei tiru emurim kosher, and after all, if the emurim were never brought on the mizbeach, the korban is still going to be kosher, because once the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, then the owner was yosef. The korban can't be eaten until the emurim are brought, but at least the korban is kosher and the owner was yosef. Therefore, the who. So therefore, the Torah is telling us v'amartem zevach pesach who to tell us when to tell us. In other words, almost like to make a binyan av. When is the word who, meaning that if a korban's designation was changed, shinui kodesh or shinui bailam, it becomes possible only if it's in connection, only if it's before the kapara of the korban was accomplished. Like by v'amartem zevach pesach who, where it's talking about the shritah. Therefore, we learn from that that any place where it says who beyond that, then it's not meaning that has to be the shema, and therefore, for that reason, an osham does not have to be the shema, or an osham should be the shema, but it's not possible if it's not. So we're learning that, basically, we're not using the who by the Korban Pesach to tell us a din about the Pesach itself, but rather to clarify a din about the osham. So to clarify that
since we don't need it for the
we don't need it for, but we're using it to explain how do you know when who is meant to say that it has to be the Troy, and if not, then it's ma'akiv. How do we know when who is meant for a different Dirosha is going to depend. You can see from the Korban Pesach, it's mentioned in connection with the Shita, whereas in the case of the Oshim, it's mentioned in connection with the Torah Seymorin, and therefore that contrast tells you the difference. And saying that contrast tells you the difference. In other words, basically that's it. If it didn't have who by the Korban Pesach, you would think that maybe one of the Mephoshim, the Taras HaKodesh explains, if it weren't for the who by the Korban Pesach, you would think maybe when the Pesach says Isha Lashem Osham Hu, maybe what it means is, fine, the Korban itself is kosher because the blood was sprinkled, but maybe the HaKtoras Emurim is possible. Maybe you're not Yotze by burning those Emurim on the Mizbeach, and then the Korinim are not going to be able to eat it. So therefore, the Pesach is telling you, no, Isha Lashem Offram Bu, it doesn't, don't worry about it. Even if the Emurim were offered on the Mizbeach, Shalom Lashma, it doesn't matter, the Korinim can still go and eat the Korban, it doesn't passel them at all. We know that only by virtue of the Bu over here, by the Korban Pesach, which is talking about Shalom Lashma. So that's basically the Gemara, that's basically the Gemara's answer. Tosfos also points out that there are other places where the Gemara uses a different Jerusha from the word who in connection with the Korban Pesach, but the answer is that there are actually twice in the Pesach where it says who in connection with the Korban Pesach, and therefore we can use one of them for this Jerusha over here about the Osham, and the other one to teach us a din about the Tmura of a Korban Pesach, which the Gemara brings elsewhere. The Tmura, if a person were to say about this, his animal for a Korban Pesach, I'm making a Tmura from it to another animal, then we would say that there's a din. What happens to that tumura that's brought to the shlomim? We learn that from the word who. So there's two different who's. Tosfos points out, but therefore they can be used for different drushas. So now we've covered the Pesach. Now we know how the Pesach not only should be brought l'shmoy, but it has to be brought l'shmoy, and l'shem b'ayelav, and if not, it's outright possible. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll deal with the same thing. How do we know the same thing is true as far as the chatz?
Yeah, outright possible means it can't be used.
You don't even continue the avoidance of it. It means you start right there, you take it to the place where possible karbonas are burned, and you start all over again.